You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, folks, we got a real treat for you here at the top of the second hour. So our intrepid correspondent, Scoop, is with the incredible, the indomitable Sean Bergen, who is just always a fan favorite and one of our favorites, too, contributor to the program. And they're at Geno's Steaks in Philadelphia. Now, you may remember Geno's Steaks. It came under some fire a few years ago when they had the audacity to put in the window a sign that read, "When ordering, please speak English." I guess, you know, it might help if the people preparing the food could understand what you want to eat. Well, Geno came under all sorts of hell for that, and he never backed down. He even made an appearance on this very program. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But Scoop and Sean haven't, and they're there at his restaurant. So I don't know which one we have on the horn right now, but gentlemen, tell us what's going on.
Good evening, James. You have Scoop on the phone. That's right. We are outside Geno Steaks on South 9th Street in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You have the Washington, D.C. correspondent and the intrepid New York correspondent, Sean Bergen, together in Philadelphia. Now, first things first, we want to remember Jim Lancey's mother. Also passed away this week with Mr. Whitaker. So thoughts and prayers with Jim and his family. But anyways, getting right down to business, again, we're back. We're at Geno Steaks for a live broadcast. So both my fans, if you're in the Philadelphia area, just count that up. So also, right now, I'm going to pass it over to the intrepid Sean Bergen with a lot more show prep than me. Sean, take it away.
Yeah, hey, guys, we're trying to compete with a couple of street musicians who just decided to start up here. I'm about to send Scoop Stanton across the street to pay this guy $20 to quit playing. I was doing the show prep while Scoop was stuffing his face with cheesesteaks. So what's
going
on here?
Sean,
what do you want to talk about?
Well, I tell you, it's dealer's choice tonight, my friend. I was just reminiscing a moment ago in preparation for your appearance tonight about the great time we had there in D.C., at the inauguration when you came in, sat down for our live show there, and you just always hammer out incredible content and broadcast when you come on. I of course want to talk about this year's version of the Ramadan Bombathon. I got to tell you, Sean, I have been using your phrase there that you trademarked, the Ramadan Bombathon. There must be something about the summer heat that sends these Muslim terrorists into berserker mode. What's your take on London, the carnage that is once again resuscitating itself?
Well, I just want to just give you the updated scorecard for Ramadan Bombathon 2017. So far, there have been 70 attacks worldwide in 21 mostly Muslim countries. Up till now, we have 1,003 killed, and we have 1,036 wounded. Now, this far exceeds Ramadan Bombathon 2016, when we only saw 421 killed and 729 injured. So, clearly, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, all of their offshoots are really upping their game this year and doing a fantastic job in mostly killing out of Muslims. But, of course, last week we were treated to yet another shocking attack.
Keith Alexander. Let me just say this. This is a change in tactics, apparently. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't know that they're changing their tactics all that much. I mean, it looks like they've gone from explosives and suicide vests to just the more primitive running people down with a car on the sidewalk and then slitting their throats as they writhe in agony in the middle of the street. So their modus operandi is becoming even more primitive than it has been in previous years, just showing that it's really not about the gun. It's not about the AR-15. It has nothing to do with gun control, as the freak shows on the left would like to have us believe. This is just flat-out blood drunkenness, and they're up in their game because I think General Mad Dog Mattis is really putting the screws to them over in Iraq and Syria, and they know that they're going to have to, you know, really, really make a statement in order to, you know, to continue with their propaganda and their recruiting and what have you. You know, I mean, Scoop just handed me a message here. He said maybe what we need to do is just ban trucks and knives, or we need more, you know, we need further truck and knife control. Maybe that'll
That's right. Something.
I don't know. But, I mean, look, we're all waiting for this stuff to start visiting us here in the United States. We're seeing terrorist attacks now in Europe about once every 8 or 9 days. I got another report out of Sweden that shows that sex attacks on Swedish women are up at festivals. So you get, you know, hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people together on one spot. Those sex attacks at the festivals in Sweden are up by 1,000%.
And I'll give you that's one a Ramadan rape-a-thon.
Yeah, Ramadan rape-a-thon or the Ramadan knife-a-thon, the Ramadan bomb-a-thon. You know, it takes many forms these days. But, you know, our President Trump is right on the money with his travel ban. You can call it whatever you like. You know, there's those are over in the corrupt media types want to call it a Muslim ban, when in fact, you know, the biggest Muslim and Arab countries are not included in the ban. So that kind of, you know, shoots to hell their whole theory. You know, but that's really where we're at with terror attacks. I mean, since London, I think London has had now 3 major terror attacks since the beginning of the year. And they've got a mayor over there who is just blissfully out of touch. I don't know if any of our listeners caught the Piers Morgan actually has gone back now to England to inflict his wisdom on the people over there. But he really took that mayor, Sadiq Khan, to task. And said, how come, why is it that you, well, first of all, what I want to know is why you would let thousands of jihadis back into your country. They do it in the name of political correctness. I think that Sadiq Khan, like our own Barack Obama before him, is actually an agent of the Muslim Brotherhood. There's no other way to explain his actions. He does, I guess, just hates his own people. And, you know, a lot of the people I talk to say, how the heck does a guy like that get elected mayor? And he gets elected mayor by, you know, you've got a bunch of crazy leftists over there combined with an ever-expanding Muslim population. And I think there's about 8 or 9 Muslim mayors in England, Great Britain, right now. So the insurgency, the Muslim insurgency, is well underway in Europe. And thank God we have a president here who has the guts and the courage to prevent that from happening here on our shores.
Well, Sean, let me say this. Is England a lost cause now with the extent of Muslim immigration over there, that now basically it's going to be like Humpty Dumpty, all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put jolly old England back together again?
Well, you know, they took a very dangerous lurch to the left here within the last week with they held elections. Now Ms. May is finding herself, you know, and the conservative representation over there in the minority. If they get this guy Corbyn in as prime minister, like those on the left are screaming for, England is doomed. I mean, this guy makes Bernie Sanders look like Ronald Reagan. I mean, he's an Islamist sympathizer, and if he becomes the prime minister, forget it. I can tell you right now, there is a corner of heaven right now where both Churchill and Flat and Margaret Thatcher are quietly weeping because Great Britain is just, I mean, headed down a very, very dangerous road.
Sean, hold on right there, brother. Hate to interrupt you. I know it's hard to hear sometimes the music on a phone. Go take a bite of that cheesesteak. We got one more segment with the great Sean Bergen right after this. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, one more segment with Sean. Program always better when Sean's a part of it. We had Sean on every time last year when there was a terrorist attack, and which is to say that Sean was on just about every show, especially last summer, and it was just one after another. Dallas, Baton Rouge, we could go on and on and on. And it's certainly, as he's mentioning now, even more prolific this year, and it will become even more prolific than that as Europe continues to welcome in these invaders who are not at all compatible with Western and Christian culture. And, of course, they're being funded by somebody, hint, hint. Sean, quick question. Did y'all go to – quick question, and then I want you to take the rest of this segment in any direction you want. If you want to stay on terrorism, if there's something else you want to talk about, your dime, your dance floor. But first I want to know, did you and Scoop drive all the way to Philly just to get a cheesesteak?
Scoop and I drove to Philly because, like, my trip to Washington last year, I never pass up an opportunity to meet fellow members of the political cesspool. And if we can go live from an interesting location – you know, then I think it, you know, just adds a little flavor and context to the broadcast. Now, you should know that sure. Geno's is a very big supporter of American law enforcement. I mean, I'm right now looking at a wall full of police patches from different police departments all over the United States. So that was another reason that we came here, because we here at the Political Cesspool are just tremendous supporters of American law enforcement. I do want to just point out one very encouraging thing. We were talking about how terrorism has really taken off over in Europe this year. But today, across America, we had protests, anti-Sharia law protests, in 28 cities across the country.
Yes, that's right.
Something that I find very encouraging is that the American public, a big swath of the American public now, is throwing off the shackles of political correctness. And they are not afraid to come out and publicly state that we are 100% against any kind of implementation of Sharia law in this country. As James Best mentioned, Sharia law and radical Islam is completely incompatible with Christian thought, but with Western thought, and especially with our democratic republic here in the United States of America. So, of course, these demonstrations were met by the unsavory leftist organization Antifa. You know, but thankfully, after the Trump protesters got beaten and chased around during the summer, there was a growing movement here in this country of Trump supporters and right wing types who are fighting back, and that would take the form of the Alt Knights, the Proud Boys, and followers of Based Stickman. And for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, I would encourage you just look the man up online. He's a fighter. And I've watched this guy take sticks to heads and punch people in the face. And sometimes that's what you need to do. You need to just stand up and, you got to fight violence with violence. The hatred and the violence these days is coming from the American left. And we were all brainwashed, or they tried to brainwash us for years into believing that, threats to our freedom of speech and violence would be coming from the far right. But it has proven to be exactly the opposite, that the fascist, truly fascist behavior is coming from those on the left who call themselves anti-fascist. But again, this is liberal psychological projection on display. Did you guys get a chance? I was on the road, and I was just wondering if you got a chance earlier on the broadcast to touch on the Comey hearings and what you thought of that.
We did indeed. Keith, give Sean maybe a 30-second recap on your thoughts, and then we'll let Sean give us his.
Basically, Comey was as much a dud as one of Kim Jong-il's missiles from North Korea. The left basically is not going to be able to use Comey as the weapon of choice against Trump. They will come up with another weapon. They intend to try to impeach him. That's their modus operandi. They basically overturned a 49-1 election of Richard Nixon by doing it. They think it's magic. They're going to try to do it. That's why Trump is mad at Jeff Sessions, because by stepping aside, he allowed that opportunity for a special prosecutor, the first step for impeachment, to come through. But Comey is history, but the left is moving on.org. They're going to find some other basis to try it, some other scaffold to hang him on.
Where it concerns Mr. Comey, I think that he revealed himself to the American public to be a sneaky, devious, scheming weasel. That's how he came across. No secret there for those of us who actually know what's going on. We did get to hear him say publicly that Trump was never under investigation. There was no collusion. And the bombshell that came out of that was, if there was an obstruction of justice situation, it involved Bill Clinton, Loretta Lynch, and Comey.
Yep.
And,
that's right.
I think what they don't understand is that Trump is not a guy to be trifled with. You know, he's a highly educated street guy, and he knows how to fight these battles. And he's got a legal guy in this Kasowitz who is not to be trifled with. If I were the president, I would have instructed my acting FBI director to go right to Comey's house and toss the place in search of that memo that he drafted. But the big loser that came out of that hearing was the mainstream media. The New York Times,
yes.
CNN, the Washington Post were revealed to the American public to be the fake news that they are. And while you've got those on the left who are never, you're never ever going to change their mind, they're going to try and move on to impeachment. Well, yeah, first you need an impeachable offense. That's number one. And there was no impeachable offense there. There was no crime committed. There was no abuse of power or any kind of gross misconduct. The second thing you need is you need a majority in the Congress to bring those charges, because that's where it has to come from. And they're never going to get anywhere doing what they're doing. So Trump comes out stronger than ever. Comey comes out like the weasel that he is. The American left looks like a bunch of losers, like they're really just trying to obstruct the business of the American people. And the biggest losers of them all, of course, the mainstream media, New York Times, Washington Post, MSNBC, CNN, and the major networks. They took a major, major hit to their credibility. And while you have those on the left who can't change their mind, those on the right who know exactly what's going on, what they forget is that we're coming up, when we come up to the 2018 midterm elections, all those independents in the mushy middle are going to be able to look at what's happening now, and if they are clear-thinking adults, I think they're going to start siding with you're going to see a rightward tilt there. And 2018 could shape up to be a landslide for the Republicans if Trump can get Obamacare replaced and repealed, tax reform, and get that goddamn wall started.
Let me ask you this one question before we move on. Does Trump need to fire Rosenstein for appointing this special prosecutor, which is the first and indispensable step towards impeachment?
Does he need to find a what?
Does he need to fire Rosenstein the acting head of the FBI that without any prior warning appointed Mueller to be the special prosecutor to look into basically what is going to be the impeachment of Trump, just hide and watch.
Rosenstein is a deputy attorney general. The guy he's bringing in to run the FBI, Ray, is a killer. He was an expert at draining the swamp. He was the guy behind the Enron investigations. He defended Chris Christie in the Bridgegate scandal. The guy knows his stuff, so he's going to come in as
FBI. But you
FBI.
Do agree that Rosenstein stabbed Trump in the back, though, right?
I think initially he did a good job in pointing out exactly why Comey needed to be fired. So, no, I don't think he needs to go. That's just my opinion. I think he's there. He's there to stay, and I don't see any reason. I don't really know that he stabbed Trump in the back. He appointed a special counsel Mueller to come in and just lift the cloud that's been hanging over Trump with this investigation that seems to be without end. So I think it's about time that we wrap up that investigation. I think Mueller is going to make very short work of this, and then he can pack his bags and be on his way. And then we can really get into the serious business of investigating Hillary Clinton, her email server, the corruption involved with the Clinton Foundation. There's a lot more to drop there.
I hope
all of these leftists terrified.
I hope that happens. It'll be one attempt to bring him down after another, I fear. But I do hope that your vision comes true, Sean. Sean, I also wish we could keep you for the rest of the program, but I want you to enjoy a nice steak there with Scoop. Enjoy your time of fellowship, and we'll talk to you again soon, brother.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The Obama administration's Justice Department funneled billions of dollars to left-wing causes. The Obama DOJ would enter in an agreement whereby a company under investigation would pay a fine to the government, or the company could pay a smaller amount of money to a nonprofit. To resolve a criminal investigation, Gibson Guitar, for example, was required to contribute settlement money to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. Advocates for big government and progressive power seem to be using the Justice Department to extort money. It will soon be illegal to sell dismembered parts of an unborn child in Texas. Babies killed by abortion will now be either buried or cremated. Their bodies may not be treated as medical waste. Governor Greg Abbott signed the legislation this week. It also makes partial birth abortion illegal in the Lone Star State. Additionally, a registry will be created to list funeral homes and cemeteries willing to provide free common burial or low-cost burial for aborted children. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. If you want a win-win opportunity for patriots, we present a solution. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. We the people do hereby request the immediate assistance of President Trump, Congress, media outlets, and freedom organizations to defend all innocent Americans. There is no liberty with innocence in prison. Please sign our petition, thefreedomcoalition.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so talking with Sean Bergen there. And remember, those guys are at Geno's Steakhouse. They took the time. That was unplanned. And this is live radio, so plans are always subject to change. But when Keith and I were talking just yesterday about the agenda for tonight's program, and keep in mind, in the third and final hour tonight, Winston Smith will be on. We're going to have a tribute to Bob Whitaker. If you don't know who Bob Whitaker is, we'll tell you.
You'll find out this third hour.
Someone certainly worthy of a tribute, that's for sure. We wouldn't be doing it. But anyway, yesterday when Keith and I were planning coming up with the game plan for tonight's program, we didn't anticipate working in Sean and Scoop, not because we wouldn't want to, but because it just wasn't on the radar. But Scoop texted me today, said, "Hey, I'm meeting Sean at Geno's. Can you spare a segment or two?" And, of course, I'd love to do that. And so calling in from Geno's, a pretty significant landmark there in the Philadelphia area, and certainly for our way of thinking. And again, Geno, when he was alive, had made an appearance on this show when he was at the height of his media firestorm for asking his customers to speak English. So anyway, nice to have Scoop and Sean calling in from a significant location like that. I agree with Sean. It does add a little something to the show to have people calling in from location, which is why we're sending Eddie down to the League of the South, why we're sending Keith to Amarin. But
we have our men from Havana, our man in Havana. We have our man in Philadelphia, New York, D.C., at important.
I should have sent you to Phoenix this week.
Yeah, to SBC.
Okay. Hey, Keith, very quickly, because I don't want to dwell on this, but
I didn't take the bait, by the way.
No, but I am. The mosque, he was talking about mosque and terrorism. Well, it should be known that the SBC just won a lawsuit. The Southern Baptist Convention won a lawsuit. What do they sue for? To help a mosque be built in a township in New Jersey. The city was trying to stop it. The SBC lent the money, or I don't know if they lent it or just gave it, to the Muslims to file this lawsuit, fight in court. Their lawsuit won. Thanks to your tithe money, SBC, we got an extra mosque in America now. Well, Comey, though, very quickly. Comey, Donald Trump or the Clintons, who has more power in the deep state? That was the question in a nutshell from Sam. Sam had this incredible commentary during the commercial break, and I would butcher it to try to bring it forth words.
Let's just cut to the chase.
Cut to the chase and then get to the situation with the schools, because we got to do something else in the next segment.
Okay, well, cutting to the chase is that Comey obviously doesn't have the power. He was a wannabe that couldn't be. I think Sam thinks that it's the Clintons who are basically pulling the strings and still have the power. How they manage to do this is anybody's guess. They're out of power, but they seem to be more powerful than the people that are in power.
Okay, now, there's something we got to cover in the what segment is this? Time's really going by tonight. In the last segment, the fourth segment of this hour, the next segment, we have got to I want to update the audience on a few of our recent dealings with the media and another couple of things before we go into the tribute hour, Winston Smith and I talking about Bob Whitaker. But there was something on your radar, Keith, that was sort of a local story, but could certainly have
it's a national story, but it's an endemic problem in American public education nowadays ever since the Brown decision. Basically, what they've done in places like Memphis and other majority black cities is turn the public schools into a de facto private school system for blacks. It hires almost exclusively black administrators and teachers and teaches to an almost exclusively black student body. Now, that's a recipe for third world behavior off the chart, and that's what's happened in Memphis. They had a principal at Tresvant High School that decided to blow the whistle and tell the news media that they are passing people and giving diplomas to people that don't attend class, that they have a football team that hasn't attended a class, a single member, in a long time, but nonetheless these people get passed along, they get credentialed. They do things like use a retired teacher's name as the teacher for a course, and then they have that phantom person validate that this particular student, football player, basketball player, whatever, has attended class. Well, this hit like a bombshell. Ben Ferguson's program, who is unfortunately from Memphis, broke it. And now it's something that the white mayor has to deal with, as much as he hates to do anything that could possibly have a negative impact on some black person, particularly a black person of power, so that he would be then subject to retribution at the polls. But the city of Memphis, well, they're not the city of Memphis schools anymore. They, by default, are now the Shelby County schools. They have appointed the former black Obama appointee to the U.S. District Attorney's Office in Memphis, Ed Stanton, to head up an investigation. But the investigation is into financial improprieties, not into grading improprieties. And the reason we think that is because the grading improprieties are so widespread and so endemic to the system now that there is no way that a prosecutor could come back and say that there's nothing to it. Well, some of the white county commissioners and the head of the county commission, Terry Rowland, said, you don't get to have the fox guard the hen house. You don't get to have the Shelby County School Commissioner, superintendent, appoint the people who are going to investigate the Shelby County school system. We want to use somebody, and we want to use somebody who is totally independent, i.e. a white person or a non-black person, to investigate this group. Well, it's all about to hit the fan in Memphis. This is, unfortunately, par for the course. Third world behavior from third world people. Corruption, cheating, it's just par for the course. And what do you expect? This is the true legacy of the Brown decision, not all this soul butter that you hear from people. Like, I was just reading Arthur Schlesinger's book on the Kennedy administration, 1,000 Days. Read the two chapters he has on racial equality and race relations. That tells you exactly where the left was back in 1963-64 when this book came out, 1964. And it shows you how wrong they were in their assessment of the situation. Basically, the more things change, folks, the more they stay the same. And the segregationists have been proven to be much more correct in their assessment of the problem than the integrationists.
All right, Keith, that was efficient.
Moving
short,
onward and
sweet,
upward.
To the point. You got anything else you want to cover before we get into this last segment? We only have minutes remaining. When you're at this point in the segment, it's hard to open up a new can of worms because you get cut off by the break. But of course, modern life is
nothing but one can of worms after another, particularly in a
truth.
Place like Memphis,
ain't that
Philadelphia, or wherever. We've got to understand, we've got to get the courage to speak up for our own kind, and we need to tell people on the left, we told you so. Why would you expect anything other than a totally corrupt and dysfunctional public school system when it is run by, you know, the black community in Memphis? Why would you expect anything other than corruption and financial misdealings and grading irregularities when you put the inmates in charge of the asylum, James?
Keith, you asked the question, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, folks, there is something I do want to mention real quick. This is a quick one. I was watching the NBA Finals the other night. Yes, you know, I played basketball in high school, so I keep up with it.
He is the basketball equivalent of Al Bundy. Al Bundy said on Married with Children one time, I served my country. I played high school football.
Well, that's right.
James feels the same about high school basketball.
Well, I was watching an NBA Finals game, and I got to say, I got to give LeBron James some credit for going out there and playing as oppressed as he is. If I was as oppressed as he is, I don't think I could get out of bed every day. I don't see how he does. It's just amazing. But they were there, and in the last couple of games, of course, were in Cleveland, and it just struck me at that very moment. I didn't even consider it before I was watching, flipping through channels and stumbled upon the game and watched it for a few minutes that we were there last year. That arena looked a lot different last summer when Sam Bushman, myself, Matt the Copperhead, Kurt Crosby were there representing this network and our respective shows at the Republican National Convention. And then I was watching on Netflix just a couple of days ago Get Me Roger Stone. It's this new documentary they've got on Netflix, which is actually very enjoyable. I would recommend this. I wouldn't recommend watching the NBA Finals. I thought it was unique because we were in that very building where the game was being played, the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland for the convention.
How's all that channeling of Emmett Till working for LeBron James? Seems like he needs to be channeling someone else if he wants to win the NBA championship.
It's not looking good for him right now. Not that I could care who wins, but nevertheless, as a game. And, of course, basketball is a white man's game, too. You wouldn't know it by watching the NBA, but it wasn't invented by Shaka Zulu. It was invented by James Naismith, a Canadian. Well, anyway, Get Me Roger Stone. Of course, Roger Stone's been on Sam Bushman's show many, many times over the course of the last year, and we were with Roger Stone and actually talked to him and spent some time with him in Cleveland, also at that convention. And you can see that in the Netflix video. We're not in the video, but he's there. There's video of him at the conference that we were at. Anyway, the convention, Republican National Convention. Well, we're going to take a break. Bye.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back to Hit on the Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, one of the things I like to do, folks, is, and you learn these things through trial and error, if you can get it on tape, if you can get a transcript, you should do it, especially when dealing with the media. And so I had a follow-up interview with the New York Times a few days ago about the standing of the alt-right presently. And you can read the entire exchange, and I mean the entire exchange, from the hellos to the thank yous and everything in between. There's no word that was said. no words that were redacted, deleted, left out. It's all there. But we'll get to the meat of it, and then we'll see if Keith agrees, disagrees, or has anything to add on to this. So the question that was asked by the New York Times reporter was, what was my assessment of the alt-right right now? Where's the movement at right now? Do you see the movement as united or divided, and what direction is it moving in? What's happening in that universe? And please share any ideas that you think are important within this context and America under a Trump presidency. That was the question from the New York Times reporter, and I answered with this. Trump's campaign certainly assisted the alt-right's growth timeline, due in large part to the media's overzealous attempts to intimately tie him to the movement. However, the alt-right was always about something much bigger than Trump. The struggle the alt-right is engaged in will be multi-generational and goes beyond any single election cycle. There's no doubt that the kind of ideas that many of us would view as common sense, such as securing our borders, protecting American manufacturing jobs, rejecting political correctness, etc., were vital parts of Trump's candidacy. There seemed to be much natural overlap, which helped warm the alt-right to the GOP nominee. But that being said, I think there is a universal consensus in the alt-right that Trump has underperformed. With Trump, there's been a net gain over what Hillary Clinton would have offered our people, but there's also no doubt that candidate Trump was far superior to President Trump. A handful of months doesn't define a legacy, but his picks for administrative posts, mostly regurgitated establishment insiders, have fallen well short of expectations. Still, the bottom line is that the alt-right will support Trump in areas of agreement and will oppose him when need be. Generally speaking, I feel as though enthusiasm within the alt-right is growing and that the movement is ascendant. We are seeing more public demonstrations than ever before, and the banner is being carried by confident and intelligent individuals. Every day, it becomes increasingly obvious that groups with different cultures, histories, heroes, languages, and faiths cannot occupy the same living space without conflict. Identity politics is going to be the future, and the alt-right is willing to fill a void that the political elite have left vacant. The alt-right is today's counterculture, and though it may take decades, I won't be surprised to find my grandchildren living in a nation that embraces the tenets of the movement. These ideas, which I find to be healthy, will become normalized, and the natural order will reassert itself. So that was my answer to the question, and we'll see how much of that gets in the published report. Last time I interviewed with this reporter, and he did treat me fairly, Serge Kovaleski, it appeared on page A1 of the New York Times. We'll see where we get this time when it comes out, and I'll keep y'all posted. But Keith, your take on that?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that we are ascendant in the alt-right. The alt-right has found a microphone, not a microphone that it was intended to find, but with the internet and with tweeting and with other social media, we now have reached the audience that we needed to reach, and we're growing. We don't have a New York Times. We don't have a Washington Post. We don't have an NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN. So people that are technologically challenged are going to have a trouble hearing us. But then the young people who are smart and savvy are the ones that can negotiate the internet, that can handle social media, and they're being converted. A lot of those people are being converted. A lot of these people, unfortunately, are leftists. You know, we've had a lot of condemnation of the baby boom generation by certain people in the alt-right as being the cause of the triumph of liberalism. No one, I hate to be the ones to break this to you, but nobody could have defeated Jewish power and influence, which is the secret sauce that led to the success of and triumph of liberalism since 1954 in America. But now we have found a way around the strategic logjam that we've run into since 1954, which is that once they got Southern families that owned newspapers, like the Hederman family in Jackson, Mississippi, to sell the Clarion Ledger to Gannett, the Memphis Press Symeter and Commercial Appeal were sold to Scripps Howards. Once they did that, then we lost our voice in the print media. We never had a voice on the broadcast media before that. You know, this was before Rush Limbaugh came along and invented talk radio, so there's nothing in the radio one way or another. And then on television, of course, Jewish power and influence dominated ABC, CBS, NBC, and PBS. Those were the only channels back in the day. And even now on the internet, we don't own NBC, we don't own CNN or any equivalent of that. Fox News is run and owned by a Jewish individual named Rupert Murdoch, and at the best, you would have to say that they're 50% Trump and 50% anti-Trump. I would say it's more like 65 to 70% anti-Trump and 35 to 30% pro-Trump, but we nonetheless have found a way to get coverage and to communicate our ideas unfiltered by the mainstream media. So I think you're absolutely right. We are ascendant right now. Now, what's the next step? Can we get a CNN? Can we get a Fox News? Can we get an MSNBC or an ABC? Who knows? Someone, if we can get our... there are advantages to being Scots-Irish. You're brave. There are disadvantages, too. Scottish people are justifiably famous for being tight-fisted, so we don't have the money to fight them. Nobody's stepping up to the plate to buy any of these things. I don't know what the solution is to that, but as I said early on in the Trump campaign, unless he creates, unless he lets go, he's a Scotsman too by heritage, lets go of some shekels and gets a Trump News Network, he's always going to be on the defensive, which he has been ever since he announced that he was running for president. He's been on the defensive because the left owns all the big microphones, the ones that you don't have to be sophisticated to access. All you have to do is unfold your paper in the morning or turn on the television set. Most people can handle that, and unfortunately, those are the people that we fear most of all, the people that rely 100% on the mainstream legacy media for their news and information.
Well, I'll say this about Trump, because I know we've been down on him, and rightly so, justifiably so. Down on him based on expectations, but certainly still pleased that he's in there over Hillary Clinton. When I was watching that documentary on Roger Stone, I relived a moment, certainly the moment that we were at the convention, and but even bigger than that, more important than that, I relived, it allowed me to feel again just a little bit of what I felt on election night. And again, as I said, my elation was that the media, these obese, blue-haired feminists, the homosexuals, the support groups for the regime, to see them crying because this witch lost brought me so much joy. I just fed off of those tears.
I was channeling the Wizard of Oz when they're singing "Ding Dong, the Witch is
Dead." But you know, I am glad Trump won. I want him to do more because I know this is our last chance to reform anything through the system, and he's given us really no hope so far in his administration that there is going to be a substantial turn to the right in his administration.
And
it's
just
business
too.
As usual. But I would say this very quickly, and then to you, Keith, I would say that candidate Trump was pretty incredible. I mean, he was some weak on the social issues, but everything else really got me going. If he would preside the way he campaigned, there is a chance that some good things could happen. But again, that's not what we're seeing so far.
Well, what's the threat? The threat is no longer extramural. It's not the Democratic Party and the progressive left. It is Woods in the warm woodwork. It is the Jewish contingent on the White House staff and in his advisory councils, specifically Jared Kushner and Ivanka and Gary Cohn and certain other people that he has around him, like this Rosenstein guy. At least in my opinion, that's what he needs to be aware of. If he just remembers nothing else, remember the J word. That's where he needs to, turn a jaundiced eye towards advice he gets from that group. Now, there's one thing I've got to do before I sign off tonight.
Sure.
I told one of our friends who was a listener when I was going over English heroes like Horatio Nelson and Arthur Wellesley, Duke of Wellington, he's told me that I had left out one of the most important ones of all, Enoch Powell, who gave the Rivers of Blood speech in 1968.
Now, wouldn't he be a great prime minister?
Yeah. See, it's just like once in a century you get a chance to have a leader like that. Enoch Powell was the opportunity that the British had and passed on. Then the other person that we had a chance to elevate the president and didn't get done, who would have been 100 times, well, not 100 times, but at least a lot, several measures more important and more good for America than Donald Trump would have been Pat Buchanan. Of course, Pat Buchanan's candidacy is what got James drawn into politics.
So it's a gift that keeps on giving in that regard, is that you have a, if it wasn't for Pat Buchanan, you wouldn't have a political cesspool.
And you wouldn't have had a Donald Trump. Quite frankly, all Donald Trump did was replicate Pat Buchanan's campaign plan.
Minus the social issues, which rendered him an inferior candidate to Buchanan. But he still was certainly enough to get us excited, at least during that campaign. Well, Keith, we'll see you next week, brother. But for everyone else, stay tuned for the third and final hour. Winston Smith and I remember Bob Whitaker, who passed away just a few days ago. We'll tell you all about it next.
Another hour of the political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.